I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A glorious Wednesday, although it's sort of rainy and gray. It's like 45 degrees, and I got a fine guest who's joined me live in the new world headquarters. Devil's Advocates. We've gone worldwide, Matt Rothschild. He's Batman. He's always been worldwide. Welcome back, man.
Thanks, Rudy. You've cleaned the place up a little bit since I was here on the opening day.
Well, you know, we were working around moving. We were working around rubble. It's only been a week. Opening day, like a week and a day ago.
It's awesome.
So we've progressed. Unfortunately, the nation has not progressed one iota. Have you been watching the headlines, the national headlines, the Donald Trump's accounting firm fired the guy headlines? Do you take the glee I'm taking?
I've been sopping it up. I was listening to you the whole last half hour, and I was reading some of the stuff with Raw Story as well, and it is quite enjoyable. I mean, I want accountability with this guy. I want accountability for his financial shenanigans, and I really want accountability for his crimes against our democracy. So I'm waiting for Merrick Garland, and I'm waiting for the Georgia prosecutor to really get him on those things.
I think the pain that's going to come from this financial from basically having your accounting firm fire you, and then soon thereafter I suspect his banks are gonna call his loans all in, that will be more painful. I think Donald Trump's always fought the lawsuits. He's been fighting the lawsuits his whole life, but daddy's always had his back. Someone's always financially had his back, and for a while we suspected it was Russian cash buyers of condos at Trump Tower, but that's not gonna bail him out when the whole note comes due. You know, a couple of $5 million cash buyers are not going to bail Trump out of this problem. Matt, you concern yourself? Are you worried? Or I know these are newer headlines, but have you considered and contemplated the fact this makes Donald Trump a very desperate man? And the sort of people that would seek to sort of manipulate Trump's desperation, you know, they're not nice guys. They're not good characters. They're... What did Trump say? We don't murder people, talking about America compared to the Russians. Well, I tell you what, Poot, when he calls your loan in, he does it with plutonium. Are you worried at all, Matt?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump has done limitless damage already to our country and to our democracy, so I'd be a fool not to be worried right now.
Do you think there is a comeuppance in the foreseeable future, not the, you know, eventually... we all get to dance on his grave sort of future. I'm talking about the foreseeable, predictable, you know, for God's sake, let it happen before the midterm sort of future.
Well, I don't know if it's going to happen before the midterms, but I do think that Merrick Garland's going to indict him before, you know, the election really ramps up for president again. And the Georgia prosecutor, any day now, she's already got a grand jury hearing on his election tampering. And what more evidence that do you need than, you know, give me 11,780 votes? So I think he's going to get his comeuppance. He may get his financial comeuppance. He may have to file bankruptcy again. And he's going to get his comeuppance for the crimes he's committed.
The only financially successful thing he seemingly has going on is the grifting, the graft of the followers of the Trump cult. And they continue to mail in their $27s, and they continue to fund his, what, campaign in waiting. And those closest to Trump think these sort of closing in walls are far more likely to drive him to run for the presidency once again, because it's a financial cash machine for him. Do you agree, Matt?
Yeah, it's a cash machine. He may find another cash machine, too, that he can actually just grab all the money that the cult followers are sending to him. I mean, he's such a grifter that he just may go total grift.
Whether just pay me. Don't send it to the campaign.
Yeah, forget
just
about the campaign. This is
Don. You know, care of cash.
Restore the, end the witch hunt. Give me money. And you know, that may be his last straw, other than the Russians. Or, as you say, the Saudis.
Or you know, like El Chapo or something. It's going to be called Manuel Noriega.
Or the old mob that he used to dance with in New York. Who knows?
I don't know if they're that liquid. you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Give me like a dollar. I might be able to give you 50 cents change, Matt Rothschild. He is co-deviling for the entirety of this hour. You could be a part if you so choose. Just join us, 844-967-2789. 8-9. Matt, I know you and I talk mostly Wisconsin politics, but are you at all concerned about the prospects of Russia invading the Ukraine, man?
I'm concerned, but, you know, and I'm hoping they're not going to do it. And I welcomed the reports, at least earlier today and last night, that he was pulling back some troops. I know the Biden administration is doubting that. What I found obnoxious was the cable TV shows, including CNN and MSNBC, kind of panting for a Russian invasion, panting for war, egging on the Biden administration. And I liked what Bernie had to say. You know, war is a horrible thing. We shouldn't be urging war here. And let's try to make some time for more diplomacy. That's the best solution here. It's not appeasement. Let's try to figure this thing out. And by the way, would the United States like it if, you know, Russia started allying with Mexico and putting its troops and weapons in Mexico right on our border? So, you know, I think that's a sensible approach. And just let's look at...
That depends, Matt. Are we amassing troops at Tijuana? I mean, do we have 100,000 American troops sitting on the Mexican border? Because then if they supported our neighbor that we apparently are going to appropriate some land from, well, the international community might have their back. And right now, the international community has the Americans' back, and it does not sound like we would be, at least not immediately, Matt, pulled in any sort of ground war. But it's always concerning to me, you know, when we're, you know, doing it through proxy or we're putting troops around the periphery, or these are UN peacekeepers. They just all happen to be enlisted soldiers in the U.S. military.
Yeah, I mean, you know, war games, heightened tensions. You know, it can get out of control fast. And with the nuclear superpowers, it's not a game of chicken, you know, I'm anxious to watch play out. So I'd rather have diplomacy go. And let's just for a second look at Russia's perspective. Not Putin's, Russia's. Russia was promised at the end of the Soviet Union that NATO would not expand eastward. And what has NATO done ever since? With the U.S. urging, expanded eastward. So there is an argument on Russia's, whatever you think of Putin, if you're a Russian and you see NATO expanding when it would promise not to expand, you got to have a problem with that.
Is east left or right when it comes to Europe? Got to keep my, no, I know. Eastward would be to the right, correct, man?
Yeah.
Always east.
NATO
to
expanding
the right.
toward Russia. Let's make it clear for the listener. That means, you know, NATO going to these former Soviet republics, closer and closer to the edge of what is now Russia. They were promised that wasn't going to happen, and it's happened.
Now, Matt, let's talk about foreign policy a little closer to home. The truckers in Canada. Mm-hmm. Have you been watching this affair?
I've been watching a little bit. I know the right wing Fox News loves it. Tucker Carlson loves it. You know, all the righties love it.
They're all essentially cheering against the America, against the country, against the nation right now. I mean, hell, I'm waiting to hear them rooting against the Olympic athletes, you know, like trip that American athlete. They're literally rooting for Russia and cheering against the United States, to my perception, gleefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's hurting our economy when, you know, Canada's not getting its goods across here in the United States. And, you know, for these people who, you know, we're talking about how bad civil disobedience is when Black Lives Matter is doing the civil disobedience. Oh, you got white guys in trucks, then it's a great thing.
What do you think of this action of civil disobedience? You know, obviously, they've been shutting down Ottawa specifically, and I believe that's the provincial capital, sort of like the state capital. And they've been pressuring, you know, sort of the populace by keeping them up all night with the horns and the revving motors. And I saw it spoken of in very Mad Max-like terms. Cut off their gas. They're driven by gas. Well, literally, they are driven by diesel or gas. But, Matt, we've seen some big uprisings here in this little city. And we've seen some occupations, if you will. I used to always kind of be for it because I always thought it was the working stiff raising up and kind of standing up for himself against, you know, sort of David against Goliath. But that is not my impression of what is going on in Canada. I see the newest polling out, like 75% of Canadians, they're against this action or think at least it's extended far too long. Well, I'm sure a few felt that way about the Wisconsin uprising, but Matt, where do you come down on the whole political spectrum of protest?
Well, you know, one of the principles of civil disobedience is you recognize that you are breaking a law, you're saying that the law is an immoral law, and that you're willing to pay the price for that. You're willing to go to jail for that. So let's see if these truckers are willing to go to jail, because they are breaking the law now. And, you know, if they are feel so strongly about it, maybe they should do their 30 days.
Now, is it, and I saw some Fox News host, oh no, Jonathan Turley. I used to have a lot more respect for that guy. What happened to him? He used to be on MSNBC. And
I don't know. He was defending Trump in the second impeachment trial.
I know. He was the lone witness, was he not? And now Turley effectively said, you know, what if they'd arrested MLK on that bridge? And I'm thinking, he's been arrested many times. He wrote the letter from the jail in Birmingham, if I recall correctly. Right. A, Turley, you don't know your history. And I know it plays out on Fox News because they don't know their history there either. But everywhere else, you become a laughingstock when you suggest, you know, that protest and civil disobedience should come without any sort of ramification. Part of the deal was getting arrested. These Karens and snowflakes think they should be able to go shut down a city, lock it down, and, you know, freedom. No arrest, no consequence.
I just remember a month ago listening on this station with Tom Hartman reading letter from a Birmingham jail word for word, and it was really powerful. But there he talked about, yeah, we're doing civil disobedience and we're willing to pay the price.
Did you notice that Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, hoping it comes here next, wanted them to shut down the Super Bowl? You know, he would have missed out on that stunning halftime of extravaganza, but of course, he's like, you know, one of those guys that didn't like the halftime.
Yeah, I heard that was your college soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. The Chronic? That was our college soundtrack. Me and Dominic's. Hard to believe we were college roommates. We're so youthful looking now.
Compared to me, anyway.
Well, it's all relative, man. That's Batman. He is Matt Rothschild. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I'm going to turn our attention towards a election in the state of Wisconsin just last night, just yesterday. Well, let's do it now, just for a moment. I saw the winners and losers. Milwaukee specifically picking a new mayor, at least a primary, to choose a new mayor first time in 20 years. And, you know, primarily Milwaukee's a Democratic city. And you would think there would be some enthusiasm on the streets to go and pick this new mayor, or at least narrow the field. Now, the clerks had predicted we might need 100,000 ballots. And the candidates were doing their own internal math, at least those that expressed it outwardly, 75,000 ballots. And last night in Milwaukee, Matt, 62,000 people showed up. I mean, that barely feels the baseball diamond.
Yeah, I saw that in Bruce Murphy's column at Urban Milwaukee. I was surprised the turnout was so low. I've also heard that registration in Milwaukee is down, and registration in Dane County is down. So for Democrats, that's an alarming sign. And the acting mayor, Cavalier Johnson, was the one who pulled way ahead. And then Donovan came in second. I heard Donovan on Earl Ingram's show a couple of weeks ago.
I heard him shortly thereafter on Dan O'Donnell's show on Righty Whitey Talk up the right-wing dial. So he was playing both sides of the fence, probably to his own, you know, a good self-promoter, any candidate, any elected's a good self-promoter. Donovan's found himself in this position before, though. Donovan has finished a distant second to Tom Barrett a couple times, and usually about 30%. Tom Barrett was that long-term Milwaukee mayor, and Donovan finished second at least once. Primary, you know, got like 32 in the primary, 30 when he actually headed against Barrett in the general election. But Donovan is sort of the great white hope in Milwaukee, because Milwaukee, for the very first time, at least if the primary vote is any indication, only 62,000 showed up. But the vast majority of them voted for Chevy Johnson. He is the acting mayor, and he would be the first black elected mayor in that city's history. That'd be
and symbolically, I think that's important.
Come back with us. Devil's Advocates, my good friend, Matt Rothschild, co-devil, and he's Batman. Your calls could be next, 844-967-2789.